I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You're not just a body and a brain, or a body and a mind. We're spirit beings created in the likeness and image of God, who is spirit. He's called the Father of Spirits. And as a spirit being, we need spiritual input and spiritual food, if you will. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so when we're talking about my spirit being fed, my faith growing stronger, it matters so much who you're around, what you're watching, what you're listening to, what you're hearing, what you're thinking about, because all these things are filtering into your spirit. And, you know, a lot of what's on secular news feeds fear. And even, you know, entertainment. People will watch hours and hours of horror movies, things that are designed to put fear in you. That's what they are created to do. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? A lot. Now, you may not think so when you're, you know, munching the popcorn and watching it or whatever, but then it won't be long, probably before the day's over, you're going to need to use your faith for something. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And now, instead of your faith being built up, your fear's been built up. You're quick to be afraid, quick to panic, quick to be hopeless. So it matters. And if we'll pay attention to the Holy Spirit inside us, He'll be telling us, don't watch that. Quit listening to that. Quit talking about that. Why? Because He's endeavoring to help you protect your heart and protect your spirit, because like Proverbs says, out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. Yes. Father, we're so thankful to know You, the fountain of living waters, to know You and Your Spirit within us that causes living waters to flow up and through us. Thank You for helping us. Thank You for being patient and merciful with us. Thank You. We ask for that which would feed and minister to us today, and we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series here in Faith School for the last number of weeks on a series we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we've said before, faith must be fed in every area. If you go back a number of lessons in Faith School, we were talking about faith for healing. We were on that for weeks and weeks. And then we talked about getting the unbelief out, identifying it. And so now we're talking about faith for provision. That's not the only thing there is, but it's very important. We'll be talking as time goes on, as the Lord sustains us and helps us, faith for other areas. But right now, faith for provision. Are you going to need some provision today? Some money, some food, some clothes, some gas, some pay for some utilities. I mean, the list goes on and on. Can God help you with that?
Yes.
Does He want to help you with that?
Yes.
What is His will? And to hear some people talk, it's God's will sometime for us to hurt and to struggle, that He's using it to teach us. But that's because they're assuming that if it happens, it's God. If it didn't happen, wasn't God's will. That is being confused. That is not knowing the truth. God's word reveals a very different thing. He said, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, if everything that happens is the will of God, why do I need to pray about it? Why do I need to find out about it? Why do I need all this mind renewal? I just wake up and see what happens, and that was the will of God. No, no, no. A lot of things happening is not the will of God, and a lot of part of that is all this lack. There are people literally starving to death for lack of a decent meal of food to eat. There is no way, no how, that's God's will. Amen. It has never been, it never will be. And God didn't create a planet that couldn't sustain its inhabitants. Amen. It's because of the sin of men and women, and because they have forsaken the one true God and replaced Him with false gods and every other kind of evil thing, and the wages of sin is death. Oh, but if you'll turn to the Lord, there is salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And in the salvation is provision. That's part of the salvation. So we've gone one by one in our study. We're giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we're sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we've covered down to number 13 in our study, the redemptive names of God. Now, if you haven't been with us, let me encourage you. Go online to faithschool.org, and all the previous lessons are on there, hundreds of them actually, at no charge, no cost. You don't have to commit to anything, agree to anything. Because of our partners and the goodness of the Lord, it's made available to you free of charge. So freely it's been given to us, and we receive it. Freely we give it. Hallelujah. So that you could get it and give it to somebody else. Maybe your family. Maybe your neighbors. Every good thing the Lord gives us is ultimately for us to share. Give to somebody else. The names of God, the redemptive names, we're going over 9 of them at this point. And we saw Jehovah in Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies us. The Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our flag, our banner, or our victory. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present, the Lord is here. And number 6, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, or the Lord our peace. And like we said, Shalom is also translated safe, is translated healthy. It's translated well-off, well-being, prosperous. So when you say shalom, you're saying a lot. Yes. And God is, He's saying, I am the Lord of shalom. Yes. So what's His will? Shalom. Shalom. When? Every day of every week, right? What's His will for every other people, though? Shalom. Yeah, there's a lot of people not enjoying it, but He didn't change. His will hasn't changed. And so we got into number 7 in our study, Jehovah Rohi, or Reah, depending on who you read after, the Lord our shepherd. And then we got into number 8, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And I want to continue a bit further on that. We saw that the Lord had said in Isaiah 54, their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. We looked at Scripture that talked about, and sometimes this is all people know about the subject. They quote and say, well, the Scripture says there's none righteous. No, not one. Yeah, without Christ, right? Without God. But those of us who are believers, who have received Him, we're not without Him. Amen. And so the Scripture tells us that He has been made unto us righteousness and sanctification. That is the substitution of redemption. That's the only way we could be saved. It's true because of mankind, from Adam all the way down to us, all mankind had, you know, that the rest of that scripture said, there's none that seeks after God. There's none that does good. No, not one. And not one of us is righteous. And like we said, Isaiah talked about their righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. That means completely unacceptable. What does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean we're locked into that perpetually. It means that was our lost condition, our lost state. And some of these writings were before Christ came. And so prophesying about, you know, the lost condition and the need for a Savior. But we couldn't make ourselves holy. We couldn't clean ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't make ourselves righteous. Couldn't do it. No one could. But God the Father didn't want to just lose us. He wanted to restore us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even though we had messed up so badly, He still wanted us for His family and to rule and reign with Him in His kingdom. But He couldn't just embrace us and act like we didn't sin. He couldn't just reward us for rebellion. Justice required it had to be judged and it had to be paid for. Well, what if we can't pay for it? Can you see we were in a fix? Man, we were in a bad, humanity was in a bad, bad place. Oh, but God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He chose to save us. And He did so by His Son, Jesus, agreeing to take our place and become man. Elsewise, it had to be man that did it. Elsewise, it wouldn't have satisfied justice. So He had to really become a man, not just play a man, but really become a human being. And He did. And He experienced all of the temptations, all of the pressures. He experienced anything and everything that you or I will ever experience. But He did it without sin. Ooh, a whole lifetime. Without one violation of what's right or good, without disobeying the Father one time, ever. And as such, He was the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He could pay the price. And the paying that price involved Him becoming, just like He had to become human, didn't stop being God. How did He do that? He's God. It's a mystery. But He had to become sin with our sin. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, the fifth chapter. Let's look at this some more. 2 Corinthians 5. And if you might say, well, what's this got to do with provision? Hold on. It has a lot to do with it. But it's good news either way. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we're born again, we are not healed spiritually. We're recreated.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We were estranged from God because of our sin and disobedience and because of death and the curse. We were separated from God and couldn't fix it ourselves. But by, do you see that? By Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled, restored to fellowship with the Almighty. And that having happened now, we got the job of getting other people reconciled, right? Verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our sins and the laws that were against our sins and that proved the evil of sin was nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Nailed to the cross. And as he hung there, he became sin with our sin. And what did that do? That caused that God is not mad at us about our sin. And he is not saying, I can't be around you because of our sin. Why? Jesus paid for it. So he's not seeing that against us if you'll receive what Jesus did. Now, if you won't receive what Jesus did, then you remain estranged. You remain separated. So if you're smart, come on, help me out. If you receive him.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, if you haven't done it, let's do it right now. Right now, everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe in you. Creator of heavens and earth. The righteous judge of all the earth. And I confess, I cannot save myself. And I have sinned and made mistakes. And the wages of sin is death. But you sent Jesus, and he paid for it all. And you raised him from the dead. And he's alive right now. And I receive Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. I receive forgiveness, cleansing, washing. I receive holiness, righteousness, complete redemption in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. If you meant that from your heart, that's the first time you've ever said that and done that, you become a new creature. Right then, right there. If you have done it, but you got away from God, he receives you. Now, receive your forgiveness. Don't keep thinking about the past. He said, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. So in looking at this, he said, we have the word of reconciliation. Now, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So that's what the third time he said. What does that mean? Come to God, right? Get back to God. Yeah, but I've messed up so bad. That's why Jesus paid for it, right? So you could what? Come to God, be reconciled, be back in fellowship with God as though you had not sinned. Hallelujah. For, verse 21, are you there?
Yes.
For he, God, has made him, and to be is italics, so he's made him sin for us. Not because he sinned, but for us. Him who knew no sin was made sin for us. Why? To what end? To what purpose? That we might be made, not earned, not attained, made. Huh? No human being has earned righteousness in the sight of God, has been so good that God looks at him and goes, yeah, you're it. You're right. In my sight, in every way. No. And I cringe when I hear people say, well, you know, I hope I've been good enough to get into heaven. Because you have not been.
That's right.
If that's what you're counting on, you're lost.
Right.
This is serious. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
This is as serious as it gets.
Yes.
No, you have not been good enough to be saved and get into heaven and to be with God throughout the ages to come. You couldn't be. I couldn't, that's where he says our righteousness was like filthy rags and no one is righteous. That's what he's talking about in our works, in ourself, in our efforts because of all our failures. But him who knew no sin, who had never sinned, oh glory to God, was what?
Made
sin. With what sin? What sin was he made sin with? My sin. Your sin. All the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, converged on his sinless, spotless being. We don't know how awful that was, but he was willing to do it, and he did it. And we should be forever thankful that he was willing to do that. Why? Why? So God could be justified when he said, okay, you can have his righteousness. Oh, glory to God. He took your sin, right? So now you, God is just in allowing you and I to take His righteousness. Am I righteous? You better believe I am. Yes, I am. Why? Because I've been so good? No. No, I couldn't get there on my own, but He gave it to me as a free gift. He said, here, Keith, I took all your sin, I took all your failures, I took all your disobedience and rebellion, and I took the punishment for it all. I paid for it. So here, take my righteousness, take my holiness, and you can come boldly right into the throne of God now. Should we forever be thankful, forever be thankful, forever be thankful? Listen to how Isaiah describes this. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61 and 9, this is a prophecy. And it says, their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But that's not the end. And He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. This describes salvation. And this describes righteousness. You know, Jesus talked, He gave a parable about this, about people who came to the wedding feast and didn't have a garment. You remember that? What is that portraying and picturing? Well, there is the garment of salvation. Ooh, glory to God. And that you are washed and you are clean and you are saved. But that's not the end. I said, that's not the end. Beyond that, there is a robe. A beautiful robe that's spectacular, like would be at the height of the most expensive wedding for the groom or the bride. A beautiful robe. One of these days we'll get to see exactly what that looks like. A robe of righteousness, but you got to put it on. I said, you got to put it on. You got to receive it, and you got to put it on. And when you do, this robe says, child of God.
Hallelujah.
Clean,
yes.
Son of God.
Yes.
It means you can go anywhere you want to. You can go right into the throne room of God. Oh, come on, you have been made royalty, divine royalty. Why? Because when the Father sees this robe, when He sees the angels see this robe, they see Jesus' righteousness. That's why it's accepted. It's His. It's His. And He lets me wear it.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So how awful it would be after all of that if you said, oh no, I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. I'm just an old sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. Do you see the confusion? Do you see the ignorance? Do you see the unthankfulness?
Yeah.
Do you see the disrespect? No, when we're saying, I'm righteous, He's made me the righteousness of God, that's no bragging. That's a submission.
Amen.
And a receiving of the gift.
Yes.
It's not something I did. He made you. He made me. He made us this way.
Amen.
Now go with me to Psalm 112, please. Is this okay today?
Yes.
Psalm 112, in talking about us being the righteousness of God in Christ, you'll find that He includes in righteousness giving is part of the manifestation of righteousness. And in Psalm 112, just a little short psalm here, talks about this thing all through it. It says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, Psalm 112:1. that delights greatly in his commandments, his seed shall be mighty on the earth, and the generation of the upright. Now that word upright is like the word righteous. It's also translated just. So you could say the generation of the righteous, the upright, the just, shall be what?
Blessed.
Shall be what?
Blessed.
Broke?
No.
Poor?
No.
No. Verse 3, it gets even stronger. What? Wealth
and riches,
and riches shall be what?
In his house.
So he's got a house.
Yeah.
Huh? He's not living on the street.
Amen.
Hmm? Got a house and it's full
of
wealth and riches, and his what?
Righteousness
endures forever. God didn't make us righteous just to strut around and show off our robe.
No.
Huh? He made us righteous to do righteous things.
Right.
Now that it's not doing the righteous things that makes us righteous. He already made us righteous.
Right.
So we could do the righteous things. But part of this righteousness, keep reading, wealth and riches will be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Until the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. And what?
Righteous.
A good man shows favor and lends. He guides his affair with discretion. He won't be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He'll not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart's established. Verse 9, he has dispersed. He has given. Given what? Substance. Given to the poor, his what?
Righteousness
endures forever. His horn shall be exalted. Not everybody will be happy about it. The wicked will see it and be grieved. But tough.
That's right.
I said tough. Why? God wants our righteousness and our faith and our confidence to be manifested in us rising up and laying hold on abundant provision and doing something with it.
Yeah.
Besides just laying around the house.
Yeah.
And counting our money. What? Giving.
Yeah.
Sowing. Helping people in need. Financing the gospel.
Yeah.
Building the church. And it will be remembered. Their righteousness endures forever. It will be remembered. Everybody said out loud, the Lord Most High.
The Lord Most High.
The Lord My Righteousness.
The Lord My Righteousness.
Has made me worthy.
Has made me able.
And prospered me.
To give.
And do righteous deeds.
That will endure.
Beyond this life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So be it, so be it, so be it. Our time is up again. Come back tomorrow. There's more to see here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.